welcome you this evening to our Songs of Praise evening. It's certainly a highlight in the course of the year. I just think of the preparation that's been done. We thank the Lord for our musicians and our young people. Pray that the Lord will continue to bless you and to enable you to use your gifts for the glory and honor of Christ, our Lord and Savior. But, of course, it's so important that you hear so that we can sing together. And as I look at you, I'm thrilled because I think, you know, you could be watching the Springboks play Scotland. But, as the Scripture says, your steadfast love is better than life. Where would we rather be than in the house of the Lord, praising our God? Whatever happens to the Springboks, we want to be here worshiping our God, our triune God. Yes, we hope they win the World Cup, but it's so much better to be together here tonight to praise the Lord. And I'm glad that you're here. It certainly is a reflection of our love for our triune God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to also mention that, as you know, there are tea and refreshments, coffee afterwards, so please don't run off. Please stay for something to eat and some fellowship. But without a few verses and then opening prayer, and then we'll continue with our songs of praise evening. So in John chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Let's pray together. O Lord our God, our hearts rejoice in you this evening because you are the God who saves. Where would we be were it not for your grace in our lives? As we read in this Gospel promise that we would have perished had not you sent your Son into this world to rescue us from our sin. And how we thank you that salvation is a free gift received through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in you this evening. We praise you for the forgiveness of our sins. We praise you for having peace with you and being reconciled to you. And that is why we come together tonight, just to worship and praise your great and glorious name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we want to ask that you would bless this time of worship as we lift up our hearts in praise, as we sing songs to you, as we hear the word of God later on. May you be present with us in a special way, and may your name be praised and honored. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Halfway yet. Giving the message at the beginning of the service, and there's a number of songs after this as well, which I'm sure you'll be pleased to know. It's been so wonderful to sing like this, but we do want to also spend some time just reflecting a little bit on God's Word, and I want to address the subject of singing this evening. Let me read Psalm 95, but I will only be concentrating on verse 1 and verse 2 of Psalm 95. We read, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day, on the day of Massah, in the wilderness. When your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Well, the highest use of our tongue is to use it to praise and worship the Lord our God. There's nothing more noble, more honorable, more godly than praising God wholeheartedly. And when we praise God, we are like the angels in some way who are employed for this very purpose, to worship and adore the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of the ways in which God loves to hear us praise Him is through singing. In the Psalms, we have a number of invitations and exhortations to sing to the Lord. You think of the verses we've just read in Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2. Let us sing to the Lord. And if we look at some surrounding Psalms as well, Psalm 92 and verse 1 to 3, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp and to the melody of the lyre. In Psalm 96 and verse 1 to 3 again, O sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day. In Psalm 98 and verse 1, O sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of steadfast love and justice to You, O Lord. I will make music. So these Psalms exhort us to sing unto the Lord. Now, I'm not sure how many of you like singing. Some of us may not be able to sing very well, but you do not have to have the voice of a famous opera singer to be able to worship God through song. You think of the birds. Some of them have pleasant sounds with their chirping and their cooing and the noises they make, but then you have that awful hardy-dar. And yet all creation, all the noises and sounds of creation declare the glory of God. The sound of the waves on the seashore, the gentle voice of the stream running down the mountains, to the noises of the cricket and the bee, and of course the sounds of the birds. And here we are, young and old, male and female, different voices and abilities in singing. But all of us are commanded to use our tongues to praise the Lord. And so my goal this evening then is to persuade you of the importance of joyful singing as God's people. And the psalm writer has this concern. He wants the people of God to be joyful in the Lord. He's mindful, as we read Psalm 95, of the judgment that fell upon that first generation of Israel. Remember, as they came out of Egypt into the wilderness, what were they noted for? Their grumbling, their complaining, their doubt, their unbelief, and tragedy struck them as a result of that. God was displeased with them. They fell in the wilderness. We don't want to be like them. We want to be those who acknowledge the goodness of the Lord. We want to recognize His loving kindness in redeeming us, His faithfulness in guiding us safely onward, homeward to our glorious rest above. So we want to worship the Lord. We want to praise Him in singing. Now, as we look at Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2, I want you to notice the following. First of all, the invitation to sing. The first part of verse 1, O come, let us sing. This is an invitation to gather together as God's people. Let us sing. The world, of course, loves to gather together to sing when they have, if we think about some of their rock concerts and their favorite bands playing and they come together by their thousands. It's a carnal affair, as you can imagine, drinking, smoking, shouting, screaming, and singing. I was once there. Praise God, He saved me by His grace. But why are they there? Well, it's to have a good time. It's to satisfy one's fleshly desires. All of it is self-centered at best, idolatrous at worst, if the pop icon or pop star is worshipped. But when you are saved, the desires of your heart changes. You're given a new heart. That loves God, that loves the people of God. And you no longer desire to be satisfied on the bare husks of this world that can produce no lasting satisfaction. You want to find your satisfaction in the Lord. And one of the ways we as God's people do that is through praise and song to Him who has saved us and redeemed us. You note that the early church was characterized by praise. and worship of God. In that those early gatherings you read in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 46, day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And then you'll find that Paul gives instructions to us with regards to singing. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19, he says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And notice the connection here, being filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always. And he says something similar in Colossians 3 verse 16. But what this tells us is that praise and singing must be part of our worship of God. We're invited to come together, to sing together with God's people. Of course, we can praise God every day, and you may even have a hymn book or a song book that you use for your daily devotions. I don't know, that's a good thing if you do, but nevertheless, the most important thing for us as God's people is to come together to sing and praise His name. And so Sundays, which is the Lord's Day, is an invitation to you as God's people to come. Come, let us sing. Let us worship the Lord together in song, praising His name. And then, of course, sitting under the ministry of the Word as well, which is most important. But shall we ignore this invitation? God forbid. It's a wonderful, it's an exciting invitation. And so we must not be among those who find excuses not to join together on the Lord's Day for corporate worship. The Lord's Day we ought to be a day that we eagerly look forward to. The Queen of all the days, the delight of all the days, when we come together to praise God and worship Him through song, through our humble obedience to His Word. But then secondly, I want you to notice the focus of our singing. It's let us sing to the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. And again, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So our praise and singing must be God-centered. We must focus on our triune God. We praise Him as our Creator, as our Sovereign Lord, as our Savior, as our Redeemer. We praise Him for His grace to the church. We praise Him too in songs of repentance. And faith Him in as our Lord and God. And we praise Him as we sing of glory to come and of the return of Jesus Christ, of the resurrection from the dead. Let us sing to the Lord. We find that some modern popular Christian songs are anything but God-centered. They focus on self, on my feelings for God, on my faithfulness, my love. Well, if you know anything about your own heart, you realize it can't be trusted. Our trust needs to be in God. Why? Because He is the rock of our salvation, as the psalmist says. You think of a rock, it speaks of stability and strength. It gives the idea of permanence. You look at the mountains, they are giant rocks that have stood for millennia. And God will always be our rock of salvation. He is faithful, He is sure, He is dependable, He is trustworthy. And more than that, our worship must be Christ-centered. We know that the rock of our salvation points to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, Paul says, "And all drank of the same spiritual rock, for they drank from, or for the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." There in the wilderness, when that rock was struck and the water flowed, that was symbolical. That was typical of Christ who was to come, who would be struck on the cross, from whose side water and blood would flow, and from whom living water would flow to the thirsty and the perishing, that all who would drink from Him would live. And so our worship must be Christ-centered. Think of that hymn, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy riven side which flowed be for sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power." So we look to Christ and we find in Him what our souls desperately need, the living water that satisfies the thirst of our souls. So our singing must be God-centered. It must be fixed upon His glory, His majesty, His grace, His love. It needs to move towards Jesus Christ. If we cannot sing of what God has done for us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it cannot be defined as being Christian. Just as the earth revolves around the sun, so our worship must revolve around the Son of Righteousness, who is Jesus Christ. Just as the sun warms the skin, so the light of Christ must warm and lighten our hearts. So let us, as God's people, sing to praise Him. Let us focus on Him. Let us adore Him. Let our hearts be drawn to Him. Let us be enthralled by Him. Let us worship Him in song. And then finally, let's consider the manner of our singing. We read there, let us make a joyful noise. Again in verse 2, let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. A noise that speaks of a shout or cheer. Let me use a World Cup illustration. There is the Springboks. There they are in the final. It's in the dying seconds. They're a few points behind France, whom they're playing in the final. And France is attacking and they are about to score, but there's an intercept. And the Springboks run away for a breakaway try in the dying seconds. And can you imagine the spectators who are watching? What are they going to do when that happens? They're going to shout. They're going to scream for joy and delight. Now, of course, while our worship must be reverent and there must be awe, we're reminded in this exhortation for a joyful noise of the energy that there must be in our worship of God. We may perhaps find ourselves coming to church, perhaps tired, perhaps feeling a little weighed down, but we need to take hold of ourselves. We need to exhort ourselves. We need to say, I will praise the Lord wholeheartedly. That's what we meant to get from this. It speaks of wholehearted worship. Lifting up our voices. Now, can you imagine singing at someone's birthday in a tired, burdened voice? Happy birthday to you. No, we don't sing like that, do we? It's joy. Happy birthday to you. And so it is. As we come together, we sing with gladness and joy. And of course, the songs must help us. So we want songs that are not difficult to sing. Music that aids us in singing wholeheartedly. And we thank the Lord for our musicians and the excellent work they do in putting these songs together for us. But even if they do give us enjoyable songs to sing that are God-centered, Christ-exalting, what use is that if we ourselves do not sing with our whole hearts? So we need to sing gladly and wholeheartedly. You think of Miriam, as you read in Exodus 15, verse 21, as the people of Israel were delivered from the Egyptians at the Red Sea. She exhorted the congregation together with the other singers to sing unto the Lord, for He has done glorious things. So we all mumble, speak down, nobody hears. How is that an encouragement to other people round about you? You may be shy, but let me tell you, if you just lift up your voice a little bit, the effect will be tremendous. Now, John Wesley said something like this in giving directives as far as singing is concerned, and I think it's quite helpful. He said, see that you join with the congregation as frequently as you can. Let not a slight degree of weakness or weariness hinder you. If it is a cross to you, take it up and you will find a blessing. Sing wholeheartedly and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan, when you were lost in your sin. In other words, let us make a joyful noise to the Lord. And if we sing like this way, wholeheartedly unto the Lord, with love and devotion in our heart, what can we expect? Well, we can expect God to presence Himself with us in a special way. The psalmist says, let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. The psalmist expects God's presence in a special way with His people as they sing and worship Him. And we can see from Scripture that there is an indication that indeed God is pleased when His people worship Him wholeheartedly. and even with singing. And he indicates this through his special presence. Here at the dedication of the temple, the ark is brought into the most holy place, and you have the singers who are praising and thanking God. We read in verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 5, it was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so the priests could not stand to minister before the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And so too we read of a similar thing happening, a special presence of God, when God's people trusted in him to deliver them from a huge army that was coming to attack Judah. And they sought the Lord's face, and you read in Jehoshaphat what he did. He prayed, he set the Levites and the singers to go before the army to meet their enemies. And this is what you read. And the Levites and the Kohathites and Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And then you read, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon. So they were routed. And then you think of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. What were they doing? Just moaning and complaining? No, they weren't. They were praying, and we read that they were singing. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and God rescued them and delivered them. And so from these passages, it seems to indicate there that when God's people worship him wholeheartedly, that God is moving in a special way. And so we must take this to heart as we seek to sing and worship God in song. We do sin against God when we sing mindlessly, when we sing merely out of tradition, when we sing with boredom, when we sing half-heartedly. God wants us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, may God forgive us for the times when we've drawn near to him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. It's just a reminder to us that even before we come to meet together like this on the Lord's Day, we ought to be praying, Lord, prepare my mind, prepare my heart, that I might worship you aright, that I might engage with you as I sing those songs, as I hear your word being preached. I want to worship you wholeheartedly. And so as we do, God ministers to us. God strengthens us. He lifts up the weary. He lifts up the depressed. One reads of the story of Gladys Aylward, who was a gospel worker in China at the outbreak of World War II, and she had to lead 100 orphans to safety. They were trekking through the mountains for 12 days. How do you keep those little children walking? Oh, they were tired, weary, but sang songs of praise. And you could hear the sound of children singing through the valley as they marched for 12 days until they got to safety. There was a missionary by the name of Reverend Glover and his wife, two children, and a gospel colleague, a worker with them. They were in China at the outbreak of the Boxer Revolution at the turn of the 20th century, where foreigners were turned against and thousands of people were massacred and murdered. And they had to flee, and along the way they ran out of food and water. And Mrs. Glover was tired, and she collapsed, and she said, "Has God forsaken us?" And looked as if there she would lie. She couldn't get up. But then Miss Gates, the colleague, knelt by her side, and she began to sing. And as she sang, there was renewed strength and hope, and she was able to get up and press on. And Mr. Glover wrote of that moment when the Christian songs dispelled that darkness and despair. And he said, "Instantly the darkness passed and the light was shining again. The expression in my wife's face of unspeakable joy and full of glory, where but a moment before it had been unspeakable anguish and distress, is evident token of what God has wrought." With tears coursing down her cheeks, she said, "Oh, I will never, never doubt him again." Singing songs of praise revived her spirit. So do not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts when we sing wholeheartedly to the Lord. Perhaps you found yourself roused as you've sung hymns. You may have been down and weary, but as you've sung, God has lifted up your spirit and encouraged you to keep pressing on. And have you also not found that in those times of wholehearted singing together with other believers, that those cords of brotherly and sisterly love have been strengthened? Think of our prayer meetings that we have on occasion at the church when we gather together and we sing a hymn, and there's a sense of oneness, unity, and love seems to grow. And so singing has so many wonderful spiritual blessings that come with it as we sing wholeheartedly to the Lord. So praise God then for the gift of singing. I'm sure we can echo the words of Charles Wesley's hymn, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my dear Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace." So brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel of grace has set us free. It's liberated us from our sin. It's loosened our tongues so that we can praise and worship our triune God with all of our hearts and souls. And so may God encourage us and stir us up. But if there's anyone here who cannot sing with joy and delight, is the reason why you cannot is because your heart is still chained to your sin. You're still in the world. That's where you are, in bondage to sin, under the influence of Satan. What needs to happen? Oh, the grace of God needs to meet with you, needs to confront you, needs to save you from your sin and give you life. You want to be set free? Then you need to look to Christ, who gave His life for sinners, who shed His blood that we might be forgiven. And by looking and believing in Him, one is forgiven of one's sin. One is set free, and you're given a new song of joy and praise to worship Him. You want to be set free? You want to know Christ as Lord and Savior? Then come to Christ even tonight, and may He be the song of praise in your heart as you find forgiveness of sin in Him. Jesus Christ, the only one who can save us from sin and death. But may God make us a people of praise, a people who declare His glory, who love to come together to sing, to worship our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank You for the gift of singing. We thank You most of all for the gift of grace, because we could not sing wholeheartedly were it not for grace that has saved us and set us free. One time we were lost, we were blind, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were without God, without hope. We were destined for eternal judgment, eternal ruin and damnation. But You in Your loving kindness came. You rescued us from our sin. You made us alive in Jesus Christ. And You called us to Yourself. You washed us. You clothed us with a robe of righteousness. And You gave us a new song to sing. A song of praise to You, our God and our Savior. And how we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. To Him be the glory and praise even tonight. And as we continue singing, may it be with glad and joyful hearts. May we sing wholeheartedly unto the Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of our songs of praise evening. And thank you for being here. Thank you to our musicians. They really helped us in our worship this evening. Of course, the focus of our attention was on the Lord Himself. He has been present with us, is present with us. And the greatest thing that you could have done today with your tongues is to praise Him, our great and glorious God. That's what we've been doing tonight. And so let's continue in this time of just worship. Even as we meet around a cup of tea and something to eat, let us just savor the wonderful truth that God is here with His people. Let our conversation be pleasing to Him. Let us glorify His name as we go out into the week, into this. We know we face with many challenges, but let's remember our God, our great God, our Redeemer, our Savior, who's ever present with His people. And may there be the song of melody in our hearts, worship and praise to Him who loves us so much and gave His beloved Son for us. And to the Lord Jesus, who's coming again soon, Oh, how we look forward to that day. But what a wonderful evening it's been. And we just give God all the glory and the praise. Let me just ask you to stand and I'll close with the benediction. Let's pray together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.